Through the years, many people gathered in large group once or twice a week to have worship, have fellowship, or just to have company during their lonely times. Now with COVID-19, those privileges have been taken away due to the high number of cases of infections, especially in the United States, being close to 2,600,000 cases as of November of 2020. The regulations forced lockdowns that lasted up to 5 months in March 2020. Churches and places of worship had to shut down or be closed due to the low income, and even a few of them had to be completely closed down due to the lack of income coming into their church. Recently, California and many other places have opened up, which allowed churches, schools, restaurants, and many other public places to open up, but of course with regulations. But scientists have predicted a second wave of coronavirus to hit, causing another lockdown, which may be longer than the previous one, which we still haven't even gotten over the first wave. Scientists like Dr. Fauci has even predicted a larger influx of cases comparing to the first wave, which the first lockdown, many people who were already struggling, such as like underlying health conditions, they couldn't already go outside. Now with the second wave, it's even harder. With the first wave, people who were religious were struggling just to find a middle ground, to still being able to worship in a group setting and still social distance, like state guidelines have stated. But with little to no information about the virus, it was definitely a struggle to keep the faith, since being part of a religion and having community is what helps your faith grow, because you have the companionship as many other important religions and groups and communities have, is unionship, which they don't have. Now the real question is, has people's faith depleted or grown due to the coronavirus? Because in some cases, some people need that companionship, the unionship between other followers to grow. But, you know, since people aren't being held accountable for, you know, going to church, it's a lot easier to slack off and not do what you're supposed to be doing and have temptation around you and all those things. But we are going to have a person who I'm going to interview today for today's episode. Her name's Katie. I'm going to have her introduce herself, so I'm not going to give too many details about her just yet. But I recently just came into contact with her through a good friend of mine who I went to high school with. And I've never met a Jewish person. She's the first person I've ever talked to who was Jewish or knew of who had Jewish descent, and it was very interesting. Our conversation definitely got into other topics that had to relate to not only just religion but into politics and coronavirus and mental health, but definitely I do believe that a lot of these things do correlate, and it's important just to listen and to really understand, which was my job as the interviewer, to really just understand her point of view throughout this whole pandemic. So here we go.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. My name is Katie. I need like
how to introduce yourself?
Yeah. What kind of things do you need me to say is the first question, I guess.
Okay, so like your name, your age, religious background, school you go to, how you grew up within the household type things. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So my name is Katie. I'm 19. I almost forgot my age for a second. I'll start over. My name is Katie. I am 19. I go to UC Davis, and I am Jewish. I grew up in a split religious household. So my dad is actually Catholic, and my mom is Jewish. But I always kind of felt more, I felt closer to the Jewish side of my family. So that's kind of how I ended up religiously. But yeah.
That's really cool. So growing up, were you exposed to both Catholic and Judaism, like practices, or like,
yeah,
it was just more one-sided?
No. So I did both. I definitely did both. I think part of it probably was just because my mom is louder and probably like more outspoken than my dad is. So, you know, obviously she kind of wears the pants in the family. So we ended up doing a lot of her things. Cause my dad was like nonchalant about stuff. But I remember, like,
just to go with the flow type thing.
Yeah, totally. And I remember when I was like little, I used to go like when Hanukkah and Christmas would overlap, because they're both normally in December. I would there was this one time where I like ran from Catholic Mass on I think it was Christmas Eve, but I was at Mass, and then I like we ran after like really quickly to go to Hanukkah dinner. It was just really weird, but I always did both. I did Mass, I did temple, I did all the things, Christmas, Hanukkah, whole deal.
That's really cool. I have a similar story where I ran from the priest when we were doing communion.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I think I was around maybe 6, and they were doing communion, and I've never received communion before, nor done my first communion at the time. And my dad was like, come on, like, let's go, like... And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And like me, I have really bad social anxiety.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, no. And he was like, come on, let's go. And I was like, no. and he was like telling me, like, put your hands like together and like whatever. And he said to say something, but I didn't hear what to say.
Yeah.
Nor like did I hear like anything, because it was so loud. And when I got up there, up to the priest, I just looked at him. I felt my body go really red and flush.
Oh, God.
And I ran away.
Oh, no.
And then after Mass, the priest came up to my parents and was like, she needs to do her first communion. And I was like, nope. No, ma'am.
Not gonna do it again.
Yep. And yeah. And then I was like 12, like 6 years later, then I did my first communion. So, aww. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, okay, let's get started. So, the first question is, I have dyslexia. I cannot read. So, what do the religious activities in your community look like before COVID?
So, religious activities, I feel, before COVID, they were very family-oriented. Is a big thing, and they were also large gatherings, which is definitely not happening now. So Jewish holidays were normally the thing that I kind of actually went to a physical temple, physical synagogue, to go ahead and like go into an actual religious activity. But it was like big meetings and like prayers and songs and all of that, and obviously that's not happening right now. So everything's kind of virtual right now. So I believe the temple that I normally go to is doing like virtual services and that kind of thing. But yeah.
All right, cool. So who leads your community and how are they chosen?
So, that is a great question. how much editing power do you have on this app?
Not a lot, but I can tell you that if you can't really answer this question, you can just tell me, like, who, who was like the leader in your community, and what is their authority, or like what is their type of job, and like if you know how they're chosen, like let's say they go to a school and they get like a degree in like the practice, and they apply for the job and they have an interview, and they could just get the job. Or like if it's just a member, and like the church just picks whoever it is, because I know that some churches do that, but it just kind of the way how you want to answer the question.
Okay. So I don't really know. That's the honest truth, is I don't really know how they're picked. But the so there's kind of like different levels in within the Jewish faith. So whereas in like Christianity or Catholicism, you would have like a priest, we have people called cantors or rabbis. And so the cantor who I was always closest to my entire life, his name was Ron, and so we called him Cantor Ron, and we would go to all of his stuff and whatever. And there was a rabbi who I didn't really know, but as I've grown older, he's now been promoted to Rabbi Ron, which is very more aesthetically pleasing sounding coming out of my mouth, I think. But Rabbi Ron's awesome. I believe that he did get a some sort of a theological degree at a university. So I think it was just a BA or something like that. But he grew up in the church. His father was also a rabbi, and his wife also, who's just, I guess we call her the rabbi's wife. I don't really know. But she is also the, actually, I think she's from England, but I believe her father her father is also a rabbi. And so it's like all kind of familial, but also does have something to do with education. So I don't think that we necessarily put people up in positions of leadership like that if they don't know what they're talking about. I think that they're all very, very educated in what they're talking about. But it also, it runs in the family, I guess, because, you know.
Yeah, of course. I mean, a lot of like churches are like that, so it would make sense. And can I ask you a question? So, like, I know with certain faiths, for example, with Catholicism and Christianity and a lot of other like older religions, they didn't or they still don't believe in female leadership within the church and having the head as a female. Is that like a thing within your like your church or churches you've seen that don't allow it, or like, or if you have, like, would you like to see that change?
Yeah, so I think that in comparison to a lot of the other to a lot of other religions, I think that Judaism is actually very inclusive in that sense. I've seen a lot of female rabbis in my time. I've seen a lot of female I've seen a lot of females in leadership positions within congregations. And I honestly don't think that I've ever witnessed something that was really like patriarchal like that. I think that nowadays, with a lot of like evangelical, like New Age Christians, I think you're gonna find that more, I guess, than in Judaism. Well, I guess to rephrase, I just mean that like compared to something that is like an old religion, so like Abrahamic religion, so we're talking like Catholicism, Islam, and you know, Judaism, out of like the old practices, who have like kind of kept their ways and like not, whatever. I think Judaism ends up being the most lax in that way. So there is a lot of women in power because it being lax, I think, ends up becoming the more progressive solution, and therefore being more inclusive and allowing more women to come to power.
And that's really cool. So, like, and this goes for both female and male, like either rabbis or, like, I don't know if you guys have, like, things like youth leaders, like youth group type thing. Like, what do you expect from those, like, members who are kind of, like, serve the church and those who just go to temple, just go, like, just to go to church, for example? Like, what do you expect from those people?
Yeah, so I think foremost, definitely people who are Jewish, I expect them to exemplify Jewish values. I think that's definitely the biggest thing. And personally, I'm the kind of person who's like, whatever you do in your own life, so if like you're kind and you're compassionate and you like stick up for others and, you know, you are grateful and those kind of things where like, I think you could argue are either Jewish values or they could even just be like Christ-like values if you're Christian or, you know, those kind of things, at least for me, in my, I guess, kind of reformed Judaism kind of mindset. Those are things I expect from everyone.
Yeah.
And especially everybody in within like the Jewish faith and congregation. But on top of that, I think especially for people like my community, like congregation and people around me who are Jewish, if we do share that kind of thing, I expect them to be, I guess, trustworthy, to always be there for each other, to just kind of be there for each other through thick and thin, because I think Jewish people throughout history kind of have been segregated into like religious group that obviously has been the victim of a lot of anti-Semitism and hate crimes and that kind of stuff, where, you know, compared to other religions, with the exception of Islam, I don't think, you know, have the other religions have really experienced. So I think that there's a big sense of community and compassion and kindness and unity and all of that kind of things from like the members. So,
of course, yeah. Like, you guys, like, for example, like, I'm a psych major, so, like, psychologically, like, those people who share the same trauma tend to have more empathy for one another and build their own community, because they share that.
For sure.
Just like the Black Lives Matter movement, like, they share those same struggles. So, like, it's a very understandable why it's very, like, close and very tight-knit group.
Yeah,
for which sure. Now, who makes the decisions in your community, and how do they decide to make those decisions? Like, do they use like their core values to decide, or do they, you know, make the decisions for themselves and be like separate, kind of like church and state type thing?
Yeah, so I think that obviously the like first and foremost kind of thing is like the words that are actually in the Torah in the Old Testament, following those kind of words, but not, I wouldn't say verbatim those words that are written, but more what the words mean, and understanding what those words mean and making decisions based on that. But I would also say that, you know, anybody can make their own decisions as long as they understand what their decisions are going to mean for themselves and for God and for the other people around them. Just being cognizant of that fact. I had another point to make, but I just lost it. What was I going to say? I was also going to say that I think that the Jewish faith is kind of different, in the sense that, like, it's not really just about God or just about Jesus or just about Allah. It's like, it's kind of different. It's, I think, and it probably stems from some of the traumatic experiences that I think us as like a group, as a culture, as a religion, as a people have gone through But they're kind of different in the sense where, like, we have actual holidays and, like, designated services for, you know, grieving and for feeling the things that you're feeling and, like, accepting new horizons. And that's, like, completely what the days are about. So that's, like, Yom Kippur. And you have Yom Kippur and you have stuff like Passover and, you know,
Yeah, like just strictly just like religious holidays. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're not even like religious, because I think that the difference between those kind of holidays and like Christmas or like Easter, you know, and I can't really speak for Catholicism because I know I'm not very educated on Catholic holidays that are like strictly Catholic holidays. But yeah. I think that like, as far as like, you know, Christmas and Easter and that kind of thing, where it's like, okay, yeah, like that's awesome, like that's Jesus, like he died for our sins, yeah, awesome, cool. But I think the difference there lies within the religious holidays, quote unquote, that Jewish people are celebrating. I think are very, 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 very focused on change within yourself and exemplifying God's words rather than God himself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also feel like with, like, me, I'm not very educated on Judaism. Mm-hmm. Like I said, like I told you before, I've never really met anybody who is Jewish. Mm-hmm. So, again, like, I feel like our school system isn't very good at, like, teaching us about other like religions,
right?
In that case, so like that's where we talk about like Passover, for example. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like sometimes I feel like certain holidays are very normalized as like a normal, like, not just American holidays. Like, I know Easter is celebrated worldwide, but like, you know, it's very like Americanized,
right?
And same thing with Christmas, like it's Americanized too. So, like, sometimes I feel like there is a distinct difference between, like, if you are a Christian or, like, a Catholic or a Jewish person or, like whatever, like, these certain holidays mean something.
Right.
And then, like, those other people who just say, like, oh, it's just a normal holiday, where, like, they don't take the time to really educate. And that's when it goes into, like, work and school life, where, like, certain teachers or certain people within the school board or just in schools or like employers, like, don't understand, like, these are holidays that you need to take off,
right? Yeah. Yourself. And growing up, I never had Jewish holidays. I would miss school all the time because I would go to temple for like Yom Kippur, and like, who's heard of Yom Kippur? Like, it's not on my calendar, my Americanized calendar. And like, we have an Easter break and a Thanksgiving break and a Christmas break. But like, if they said like, oh, we have a Hanukkah break, like, everyone would be like, hello. So,
yeah, exactly. You know. So I feel like definitely like fixing that within the school system so we can have an understanding. And like, it goes along with like, you know, like, past trauma with like World War II and, like, right. World War I, where we just don't educate on that part. We just kind of teach the bad guy side and say, yeah, like, oh, this is the bad guy. And, like, these were, like, the victims.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't teach about, like, the victims, like, core values or, like, where it kind of stems off into, like, different types of branches.
Yeah. And not only that. That goes into holidays. I feel like we also don't teach anybody enough about, like, so, like, let's say the Holocaust, right? Because that's, like, one of...
A big one.
Yeah, a big one, exactly. But, like, half of the time, you don't really learn about America's involvement in the Holocaust, right?
Exactly.
Like, I mean, you could probably tell me, like, maybe one or two things. But, like, if you really, like, sit down and you... I took a history of the Holocaust class, like, last quarter. And it's painful how much America, even though they weren't, you know, fighting with the Nazis, it's painful to realize how much that they didn't do to help Jewish people who were being executed like by mass populations. And it's just, so that's definitely also something I think Germany has done a really good job, you know, holding themselves accountable and teaching their population that, like, you know what, we were the bad guys and we did wrong and we're not doing it again. But I don't think America's very good at the same thing.
Yeah, like, that definitely kind of shows, especially with, like, you know, like, social movements like Black Lives Matter,
right,
and LGBTQ plus, like those type of movements where we kind of just like stay the same but act like we're changing.
Yeah,
when like places like Germany, like you said, has like recognized and tried to place like reform,
mm-hmm,
to change those things. So that's why I think educating more like in elementary school and middle school and high school and like college, like definitely not just one-sided stories, is really important. So back to the questions. Yeah. It's okay, it's cool. Like, this is all like really like good information. Like, how is your community different from others, like, or similar from other like religious groups, and that includes in like matter of doctrine and practices and like approach to certain things?
Yeah. I think we kind of already got into it a bit, but I think the biggest thing, at least in Reform Judaism, I think that I can't really speak for people who are like Hasidic Jews or like, you know, Orthodox Jews, because that's like a whole other thing. But at least in my, you know, immediate understanding and my immediate community, I think that we're different because, as I said before, I think Judaism really teaches you how to look inward at yourself, so that you can make changes outwardly. And I think that that's a really, really important thing, especially right now, because, you know, obviously our world is going through a lot of things, to say the least, but it's really all going to start within you to make change outwardly, because if you don't start with yourself, you know, there's no way to get anything done. And I think that that goes for a lot of things. I think, you know, maybe, like, for example, like voting for a candidate just because they're Catholic, right? And you're like, oh yeah, they're Catholic, so I'm gonna vote for them, right? But then other people are like, okay, well, that doesn't really make sense, because sure, that person is Catholic, but did they really exemplify Catholic values?
Exactly. You know?
And I think Judaism is definitely, definitely on the latter side of like, okay, like, just because you say that you're, you know, Jewish doesn't mean that you're like exemplifying Jewish values, you know? You actually have to, you know, be a kind person to exemplify the words that we're studying and be a compassionate person. And it's not like it's hard. It's just like, you know, there's also a standard, like you can't have hate in your heart. You can't, you know, you need to be able to do good and be kind and compassionate and unified. So,
yeah, like it just poisons the water type thing.
Totally.
So, like, yeah, so I also sent you some other questions of my own that I'm going to ask you. Okay. So I told you to either talk to someone or, like, talk to your parents, mm-hmm, or whoever. So obviously the coronavirus is a really big issue. And, right, like, you know, we had our first wave, large numbers in cases and infections and deaths. And then they started to decrease eventually, especially, like, it never really went down in California, but it definitely, like, had its peak.
Right.
And then, like, started, like, settling down a little bit. But now with the second wave already here, like, and we're starting to go back into lockdown, especially, like, where you're at, too. It's, like, it's crazy populated.
Yeah.
You know, like, how are people dealing with the second wave? And let's say that your church went back to having, like, in-person services. Mm-hmm. Like, how are they dealing with the second wave?
Yeah, so they've basically been virtual this entire time. they never really went back to in-person anything because we're still in a pandemic. And I think it goes back to those values of, like, caring for other people. But you have to start with yourself and look inside so you can pour outward. So, you know, that means, okay, like, we're going to stop our in-person services. We're going to go virtual, but it's for protecting others. And they really haven't strayed from that. When we started to get kind of in a better kind of like tier color in LA County, I know that the rabbi went to a couple of like small gatherings to like do his
work.
Yeah. To do his work. He like did a couple funerals. Like I myself participated with a couple members of my family. One of my grandfather who was just diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. One of his last wishes was to have all of his grandchildren given a Hebrew name. So Rabbi Ron came to that, and there was probably about like 10 people there, but that's because there was 4 grandchildren and we all like, you know, brought a parent. And so he like came to that, or he goes to funerals, and like I know that he did like a wedding, but like there was like 5 people at the wedding. But now I think they've definitely rolled back on that again because we've entered into the purple tier and it's definitely going to be a second wave. But other than that, we've generally stayed the same. And I think that's, you know, I think that's because of the values that we hold about protecting other people.
Yeah. And I'm so sorry about your loss too.
No, like, it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's hard. So, this is the last question. So, has your faith grown, or has it, like, decayed, like, from the comparing to, like, the beginning of quarantine versus now? And, like, if you see, like, any type of change with your family or friends from church, if they kind of, like, separated themselves, or, like, if they kind of like just like separated themselves, or like became more closer to like the people, yeah, like at the church.
Yeah, so I think at least for me, I think that there's always that saying where it's like desperate people find faith, and I think that that's definitely true in some sort of sense. So for me, growing up, my Jewish identity was pretty basic. It was just like, okay, like, let's go to temple on Passover or Yom Kippur or whatever, and then, like, let's eat some latkes and light the menorah on Hanukkah. And, like, I knew the Hebrew prayers, and, you know, it was pretty basic, but I don't think I was ever truly, you know, connected to that side, yeah, of me until I hit high school, when I had to do a multicultural project about myself, and I chose Judaism, and it just kind of, it got me really connected, because I think Judaism is kind of different in the sense where, like, not only are we a religion, like, we're a people, and we have a culture, and we have, like, not that other religions don't, but I think, you know, we definitely, like, on my DNA test, like, I got one of those home kits, like, it was, like, 51% Ashkenazi Jewish, like, there's actually, like, it's kind of complicated, but, you know.
It's an identity and not just a religion. Exactly. It's a whole culture.
Yeah, it's like a whole
that comes along with it.
Thing. And I think that that's been forced out of us for, you know, years and years and years and years because of things like the Holocaust, when we were, like, forced to wear patches that said Jew. Like, you know. And, yeah. But getting back to my point, I think, you know, when I got to high school, I started to get more connected, and then I graduated. That was like my senior year or junior year, one of the two. And then I went to college, and I was like, okay, like, you know, I'm alone. Like, there's no other Jewish people here, because, like, it's kind of hard to find a Jewish person sometimes because we are the minority. So I was like, all right, whatever. I'll just, like, do my own thing. Like, my roommate would put up, like, Hanukkah stuff on the window with me, and that was about it. But then, once the pandemic hit, I felt really lonely, and, I think like a lot of people did, obviously, because quarantine. So I felt myself longing for some sort of sense of community. So I found the Jewish sorority on my campus at UC Davis, and I joined them, and now we have like Shabbats on Friday nights over Zoom, and we have spin-offs for charity with our dreidels and all of that kind of stuff. So I think for me it's definitely grown. I think a lot of that came from the sense of like pandemic, and I felt lonely, and I really wanted community, and where better else to go than somewhere that exemplifies community and kindness like that. That's why I kind of turned into it pretty hard. And I would say probably the same for my mom as well. I think she's definitely gotten more into her faith as well throughout this pandemic. And the majority of the people I know, even in other faiths, have also done the same, in which they, I think have kind of steered hard into it because they don't have much else to kind of grasp onto right now.
Yeah, like, I know a few people who are Christian, and they always talk about, like, oh, like, I miss gathering, I miss worshiping with a group of people, because definitely, like, you know, doing that in a group of people brings a sense of community and, like, togetherness, and I know for a lot of people who used to go to my church, definitely, like, left the faith because they felt like disconnected, and with them it's like more like, oh, like, if I feel like I'm disconnected, then, you know, why am I gonna, there's no reason for me to follow the things that I used to believe in.
Yeah,
when they used to go to church and they would continuously bring those values up forth in a way. And yeah, like, I think with a lot of people now, like, it's either they have a lot of faith or they don't.
Right.
There's not really an in-between now. Because, again, like, community is really important.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And I also, to build off of your point, I think that it's definitely something to note that, you know, people during this time have found it hard when we're in a virtual world to be able to, you know, keep up this sense of faith. But in my head, it's like the hardest times are like the trials and tribulations are really the true test of your faith. And for me, I always kind of think back to things like the Holocaust, where it's like those people remain true to their faith. In times where there were literal Nazis marching around threatening to kill them, and like, we're just on Zoom, like, it's not, I just kind of put myself in check, being like, so that's how I think I kind of hold on to that sense of faith and that sense of community, and I keep myself in check. But if other people don't necessarily have that kind of thing to look back on and gain some perspective, I can see it being really difficult.
Yeah, like how you mentioned that, like, you know, it all starts from within yourself. And that change. And like, I can see that you do that, that you reflect on, like, okay, well, you know, it could be worse, and that you still push through and persevere through that. And like, it's really cool to like, kind of like, I noticed that with a lot of like religions, like, it's about, it's not really about self. It's more about others in a way where it's like judgmental.
Right.
And persecutional, and very, like, not very, like, self-reflective.
Yeah, and, like, or, like, saving other people, that kind of deal,
Exactly. Yeah. And I've noticed a lot, like, for example, like, TikTok, like, it's a platform. I'm just using, like, the description of, like, TikTok for my professor, so, like, TikTok is just a platform, like, with videos, and there's different genres of, like, whichever you're looking for, like, it's there. And, like, for example, like, there's, like, you know, there's, like, Christian TikTok, there's, like, Catholic TikTok, there's, you know, like, just different varieties of, like, just different things. And, like, You know, like, I've seen here and there just, like, different videos, and, like, I noticed that a lot of them are just very, like, are you sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing? And very, like, you know, very, like, just judgmental
Yeah,
and
and it's funny that you bring up TikTok because that's one of the grievances I have is TikToks like that. Is I always look at those and they're always like and I think around the election it was also kind of like this where it was like nobody needs to worry. It's all in God's plan, right? And it's like, yeah, okay, you're right. True, but
But to what
again,
extent?
yeah, but to what extent? Exactly. And like, look at the state of our nation. Look how we're treating other people. And that's not going to change unless we look within and we make change outward. Like, it's not just God. Like, it's you are exemplifying God. You are doing his deeds. Like, it's not
Exactly.
just his plan. You also have to do your part. So.
Exactly. Like, and I think, like, with a lot of people on that platform was just kind of like very hypocritical at the same time. Like, they were just saying, like, oh, well, like, no matter who wins, like, you know, like, it's God's plan or whatever. But then when Biden was selected as president or chosen by the popular vote and electoral votes, like, it was just like, well, now we're t it's time to riot type thing,
Yeah,
you
totally.
know? And
Totally.
I think there's a really big difference between, like, being strong within your faith, but then being strong within a human being's empathy.
Totally.
And, like, yes, like, core values within a religion can correlate to your own core values, but then they clash because of a political party.
Totally.
And yeah, so, like, that's why I feel like religion and, like, the coronavirus mixed with politics, it's so, like,
Explosive. Yeah.
yeah, like, it's very, like, how do I say, like, it correlates so much.
Oh,
It's
yeah.
just a, like, just like with any, like, political, like, thing, like, church gets brought into it because it's people's values, and religion gets involved with those things.
Yeah, and like I really, this is kind of off topic, but I feel like it's, you know, relevant. Is I was just in a class, so I'm a history major, which is why I probably keep spitting history facts out. But I was in a, I actually am currently in a class about the French Revolution, which I think is timely because we were talking about something called the Dreyfus Affair, which, if you're not familiar, was basically a thing that happened in which there was a really high ranking, this was right before the Holocaust, there was a really high ranking military general who was a Jew, and they found a letter that was in the German embassy, I believe, that was, you know, selling French secrets to the Germans, and they didn't know whose it was, so they blamed it on the Jew. And he got basically framed for it, just so that they could have a scapegoat, and they sent him off to an island. But when he was off in that island, it started this whole crazy political movement in which it like split France into two. And my professor said something I think that was really profound. He was like, this was one of the really major first incidents in the world where we see people, because at this point, when he was off at the island, they found evidence proving he was innocent, but people just didn't care. And he was like, you know, at this point, it was a really big indicator of two ideological camps in which it's like my country right or wrong, or my country needs to do better. And if you look back at these people and you go, okay, like, why were they choosing this side? Like, I don't understand. You have to put yourself in the perspective of the people at the time. So I try to do that with myself. I try to be like, what are these people thinking? And, you know, what are they thinking? How are they justifying themselves? They're saying, my country, right or wrong, not my country needs to do better. And I try in my own lights to just kind of, you know, figure out how to, because I think my country needs to do better is definitely a Jewish value in my opinion. And
yeah,
I think that I just try to bring it back to that and teach other people that that's what we all should be doing without imposing my religion on them, but just kind of teaching them my values that my religion taught me.
Yeah, and I think just like with anything, like for example, like with me, I'm pro-choice, mm-hmm. but I'm pro-life for myself.
Right, that's right? My mom too. Oh yeah.
And like a lot of people like to bring it in with, like, in my opinion, people who are strongly pro-life or just pro-birth.
Oh, yeah. Because then they don't protect the rights of the child after they're born. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and me and my brother were having this conversation. And it's just a lot about minority versus majority population.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking about how a lot of the minorities are starting to, you know, have more children because the government doesn't give them access to proper contraceptives, yep. like condoms, birth control, like welfare, things that they need to support one child,
mm-hmm.
or like jobs. And, you know, and they have more kids because they don't have access to those things like Planned Parenthood, right?
Right.
Which just got defended.
Right.
And
that's basically widening the poverty gap and the class wealth gap of America, yeah.
Exactly. And then that just, like, increases the populations of minorities, which is, like, you know, it's a good thing, you know? Yeah. Like, then there is no minority. But then, like, I realized that, like, the reason why a lot of primarily cis white like people within that community,
mm-hmm.
they are pro birth because they're losing their minority title.
Yeah.
Or their majority title, you know what I mean?
Right.
So eventually it's going to tip over and they're scared of that.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's why a lot of them are conservatives. Yeah. You know, like, they want to protect their rights to defend themselves if a person who is a POC, a person of color, or just a minority in general,
mm-hmm.
so they can defend themselves, or, you know, for whatever reason mm-hmm. that they justify their actions. And, we were just talking about how they're scared of the tip.
Oh, yeah.
Of population. You know, and, like, just like any person, like, I'm Hispanic,
mm-hmm.
right? But I'm also Native American.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know many people who are Native besides, like, the neighboring reservations. And even then, like, the reservation's still filled with a bunch of white people.
Right.
You know? And now there's not really a whole lot of, like, people who are just, you know, Native or just Hispanic.
Right.
You know, like, it's a mix of everything. So it's, like, it doesn't even, like, matter at this point. Like, America's just a bunch of, it's a pot of, like, everything, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I forgot where I was going with this, but just, like, it's the fact that, like, a lot of people are just scared of that tip.
Yeah, totally.
And
right. And that's kind of like the perversion of, I think, when I say things like, you know, looking within yourself to pour outwards, right? I think that's mm-hmm. kind of the perversion point of that is, like, if you only look within yourself, then it becomes like, okay, it's all about me. It's all about, like, I'm pro-life, I'm pro-birth, I'm pro, you know, I want to keep my guns. I want to keep my wife from, you know, not being
yeah.
to abort a baby. I want to keep my me, when I think something like Judaism says, okay, I want to do well for others. So I will fight for pro-choice for others, even though that I'm pro-life for myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you mentioned something, and I was just going to say that, like, with people who are pro-life or, like, pro-birth and pro-choice, the fact that it's not even about, like, aborting a baby or, like, a potential, like, fetus.
Right.
Or just, like, you know, like, gun rights. Or just, like, basic human rights.
Right.
You know, it should always be about others and not yep. just yourself. Because, yeah, like, you know, you should look out for yourself. But, you know, like, these minorities are losing their rights as a human being in America.
Yeah, for sure. And not only that, it's, like, you have a really excellent point in, like, it's pro-birth and not pro-life, because the same people who are saying pro-life, okay, well, we're having a baby, okay, now I can't choose to have an abortion, so I have this baby, and the baby is mixed race. And not only is it mixed race, but,
it's black,
it's,
you know?
Yeah, or it's, like, it's a part of the LGBT community, or, you know, whatever. Like, at that point, the same people who were pushing for me to have that child are the same
exact... Doesn't want the child.
Right, they're the same exact people who are taking away my child's right. Right? They're not protecting that life further than when it comes out of me. And they're not supporting legislation that, you know, helps that baby. They're not, you know, preventing suicides in, you know, young gay youth. They're not pushing for mental health reform. They're not pushing for, you know, racial prison equality. Reform. Yeah, they're not. And that's when it becomes something that's totally just about themselves and not about the baby
that other people
were claiming they were fighting for. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, you know, I was just going to make a point that basically, like, you know, like, you can't have, like, no, like, in other places in the world, like, other countries, like, they don't allow abortions, right? But they allow, you know, women who can't afford to keep their child,
mm-hmm.
like, places to stay or, like, places to eat, to feed their child, free education. And, like, yeah, like, we have free education in America, but it only goes so far.
Right. Yeah.
And, like, with the community college I go to, I get a free year.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And, which is a really good thing.
Totally.
And I think what I was going to mention was, too, is that, like, a lot of people who are on the right, they don't want to pay those extra tax dollars mm-hmm. to support the minority or the, like, majority, too, who are also part of, like, that, you know, the poverty line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of white people who are poor, who are, you know, who are struggling, totally. Who are part of that, you know, and let's not ignore that, but it's, like, you know, any majority can be the minority, and any minority can be the majority.
Oh, totally.
And it's the fact that, like, you know, like, certain people just don't want to help other people because of they're scared of themselves. And what I've learned recently, because I'm writing another essay for my biology class, is that people who are tend to lean more right, especially conservatives, have a smaller amygdala, which is really interesting, right? Because,
yeah,
which is really crazy because the amygdala is a processing center for empathy mm-hmm. and, like, for fear and for those things. And you see those characteristics executed with anger and aggression.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
And, like, bringing it back to, like, religions, I think it's interesting and I think it's really telling, building off of that point, of kind of where religious people of different communities fall on that spectrum, you know, like whether they're right or left, and who actually is empathetic towards others, and historically who, you know, which religious groups support what side. I think it's very telling.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
Yeah.
But thank you for doing this interview with me. I really appreciate
it. Yeah, of course.
And we did go over the 30 minutes that I told you it would probably take. But thank you.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Of course.
Yeah, so, yep.
Well, it was really good getting to talk to you. And if you, you know, ever have any more questions or whatever, I'm here. And it was nice talking to you. I hope you do well in your projects.
All right. Thank you so much. It was so good.
That is the end of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed, and I hope that you got some type of educational information from this. I definitely did. But yeah, have a great day, you guys, and just spread love and peace, and I'm out.